You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me in studio is State Senator Dan Katowski and our pharmacist expert, Dr. Charles J. Turk. And on the line with us is Ray Long. There's some important conversations going on in Springfield and throughout the state. And it really kind of comes all back to an investigative report that Ray Long and fellow writers of the Tribune conducted. They did this is hardcore investigative journalism. And this is the kind of stuff that people need to be paying attention to. Ray, how are you doing tonight?
Very good, Patty. Good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about, first of all, this piece came out in at the end of 2015. Is that right?
End of last year.
I lost a year along the way, Ray. I'll be honest with you.
Well, we're up pretty late, so that happens. It came out in December, and what we basically did was we spent quite a few months. I spent 15 months on it. A couple other reporters, Sam Rowe and Carissa King, spent 2 years working on stories about drug interactions. What we did was we went to pharmacies, 255 pharmacies. We brought in some other reporters from the Tribune, and we took to these pharmacies two prescriptions. Both of these prescriptions, if sold together or taken together, should be a red flag. They're supposedly, according to experts, no-brainer type drug interactions that a pharmacist should flag and tell you about or warn you. These ones that we selected for these tests were potentially fatal, potentially harmful. One of them was a birth control pill that would have been ineffective or less effective if taken with the drug that we paired it up with. So we had five pairs, three potentially fatal, one that could pretty much cause you to pass out, and another one that would make birth control ineffective. We went around to pharmacies that you've heard of, CVS, Walgreens, et cetera, and we came up with results that said 52% of them actually failed to warn reporters when they came in with these two prescriptions that were dangerous combinations.
And you had gotten a doctor was kind of also working with you as well. So he was monitoring which ones would be counteractive, which ones would be dangerous together. And when you went out, now Dr. Charles Turk is trained as a pharmacist, and he was the first person I talked to about this. And he was curious about the methodology behind this. Was there ever, in the ones where they did catch it, what was a pharmacist's reaction? Like, this, I can't give you these, or what did you experience in those, the other 48% of those?
Oh, yeah, this was by no means just a story about failure. There were people who said, look, we can't give you these. You'd be on the floor. I've seen people go to the hospital because of these combinations. So there are pharmacists out there who were catching them and saying the right things. And what we found was that half of them are not.
And when they didn't, it was just kind of like, here's your medication. Do you have any questions?
Yes, that was often it. As you know, the current law in Illinois is that they are required, at least someone in the pharmacy is required to ask you if you have questions. It's called offer to counsel. A lot of people don't realize, I'd say most people don't realize, that that actually is your opportunity to jump in with questions and a quiz about all the types of things like your drug interactions, et cetera, to give them maybe the rundown of what you're taking, et cetera. But a lot of times it's perfunctory. You go to the cashier or the technician who cashes you out. They ask, do you have any questions? You don't know what to ask. You say no, and then you pay your money and you're off with your drugs.
This has been a kind of a fascinating experience because we came down, Dr. Charles Turk and I came down to Springfield to be at the hearing yesterday. Have you in the past been able to write something that then generates this kind of attention from our Capitol?
Well, what was the attention? What sort of reaction was provoked by your article?
Well, first, you mean yesterday over the last few weeks
and even right after the article, how big was this?
Well, we've seen a lot of a lot of resonance in the pharmacy community. We've seen a lot of resonance overall. We've gotten pickup from all the way from TV stations and radio stations in New York and Delaware and Minnesota and other states, and in Illinois too. Several news outlets have followed up on it too. More importantly, Governor Rauner moved to change some of the current situations. Like we just talked about the offer to council, he is now put in motion for regulatory changes that would say that pharmacists must counsel people when they get a new drug, or if they have a dosage change or like some other change in the medication. Now, if you're just going in for a refill and you've had it multiple times, then you're not going to have to be counseled each time. But the idea is to also get the pharmacist to focus more on this. Rauner also came out with the idea that he's going to deploy mystery shoppers. This would be, I've kind of equated it to the idea where you send out kids to liquor stores to buy alcohol, and when they sell it to a minor, or then they get written up. Well, it would be the same kind of principle here, only they wouldn't be sending kids out. They'd be sending people out with drug interactions or other things just to check and see how well the pharmacies are doing. He also has said that he would want to see his inspectors spend more time focusing on drug interaction issues. And the governor has put together a task force of pharmacies, medical society folks also are involved in that, and they're trying to explore other ways that they could deal with issues like people going to different pharmacies or how best to catch it when somebody who may be going to a couple of different doctors and a couple of different pharmacies and they don't all talk to each other, to see if there's a way to try to make it safer for folks to avoid interactions.
Well, I thought it was interesting because, you know, I know that, you know, Dick Durbin, Senator Dick Durbin had weighed in as well. And Carmen Catazone of the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy, which heads, you know, it's sort of a, you know, a conglomeration of, you know, a number, you know, all 50 states of the boards of pharmacy also weighed in and was concerned about the results of your study. You know, and certainly, as you were mentioning, you know, and as Patty mentioned, the three of us had gone down, you know, and it spurred action at the state level, both from, you know, Governor Rauner weighing in, and then also, you know, on the part of the Democrats, which are looking to take sort of a different approach from Governor Rauner.
Right, right. Mary Flowers, the Southside representative, has been a longtime health care advocate, and she heads the committee in the House dealing with health issues. And so she has pushed a bill that would set limits on the number of hours that pharmacists work, set limits on the number of prescriptions they could handle in an hour, require break times and lunch breaks when they work maybe 7 or 8 hours. And also she wants to have a whistleblower protections for the pharmacists who may call in and tell about what the company's doing that maybe shouldn't be done, or that there's something happening that needs greater attention, or basically, as the name says, blowing the whistle.
Hey, Ray, I need to take a quick break here, and we're going to actually have Representative Zaleski on with us and join the conversation as well and continue our conversation as far as what, you know, what we're trying to implement, what hopefully will happen as a result of the investigative report you've done. Do you mind hanging on?
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
Appreciate it. We're talking to Chicago Tribune investigative reporter Ray Long. Dr. Charles J. Turk joins us in studio. Senator Dan Katowski in just a moment. Representative Zaleski on 720 WGN. There's so much to talk about. Let's get right to it. We've been talking to Ray Long, who's a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, wrote an expose piece, an investigative report on pharmacies across the state of Illinois. Yesterday in Springfield, there was a hearing with some testimony from pharmacists, the word Teamsters, I just kind of love that word. But anyway, there were Teamsters there. And Representative Zaleski was on the committee to hear testimony. And this again, Representative Zaleski, thank you so much for being so patient. I know it's late. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Also joining us in studio is Dr. Charles Turk and State Senator Dan Katowski. Tell us a little bit about what you think in regards to the investigative report you read from Ray Long, what you've learned since then, and what you heard. All these questions. I have a lot of questions. Where do we go next from this?
Well, I think where we go next is the pharmacists have what we call a Sunset Act up. Every profession in sort of statute, pharmacists, doctors, anesthesiologists, social workers have a statute that governs the way they practice their trades. Pharmacists is among them. Theirs is up this year for renewal. And I think based on the Trib's reporting, I think we have a number of issues to address when it comes to that Sunset Act. So I think that's the next step will be, how do we reconcile what we heard yesterday with trying to make sure that our statute assures people are safe when they take medicine.
And is there anything that surprised you when you read this investigative report by Ray Long and his colleagues? And was it startling to you to find out that more than half of the pharmacies failed in this report?
Startling is probably a good way to put it, in the sense that we all use pharmacists. I think people generally assume when they see a pharmacist or when they get a prescription from their doctor and they take it to their pharmacist and the pharmacist fills the prescription, everything is a flawless procedure.
Right.
And that's not always the case. And so when you see breakdowns like that, I think it really scares people, it scares parents of young kids. I'm a parent of four young kids. It scares the heck out of me. So we assume that process always goes smoothly. And when we find out it doesn't, I think that raises a lot of alarm bells.
And what happens next? Because I think you may perhaps learn things yesterday that will influence the way you craft the legislation next. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think we'll sort of take what we heard yesterday. We'll digest it. We'll ask staff to do some research into figuring out how much of it be able to rectify it, how much of it will require funding, how much of it will require more research. We'll try to get a battle plan together for when we go to write a new law. So those are probably the immediate next steps.
So, Mike, this is Dan. How are you?
Dan.
It's good to get to, rarely they have two Polish people on the show at one point.
We also still have Ray Long on the line, too. I was just asking if we make sure he can stay hang out with us, but go ahead.
So what are the requirements for a duty to warn as it relates to pharmacists? There's in other things, there's a duty to warn that said it about a potential danger that may exist. I mean, what kind of accountability is? And I come for this from the standpoint of somebody who worked on this a lot when I was in the legislature, but also someone who's been a patient who's lived with epilepsy and who's encountered a lot of challenges with the dispensing of medication that's appropriate for my health. So what are the kind of accountability standards that could be put in place or strengthened as it relates to this?
So what we heard from the department yesterday is they put forth a rule after the Trib's investigation that said a lot of that had to be bolstered. That from now on, when you see a pharmacist, that interaction, I think a lot of times when you go into a Walgreens and you get a medicine, is a lot of, hey, do you have any questions about this? No, I'm totally fine. Thanks for it. And then you take the package and you walk on your way, I think under the department's view, that's going to change a lot. You're going to have to sit through persevere through an actual interaction with the pharmacist where he or she's going to walk you through all the side effects, walk you through your medical history, and walk you through what medications you're on. I think that probably – I'm a little nervous about that personally. I think that can – tend to turn people off, and I think we need to be careful not to just let it become passe and people just ignore it. But I think we're going to have to look at how they warn you. I think we're going to look at when they get warned by a computer that you're on 10 other medicines. We heard a lot about warning fatigue yesterday, where then they look up your prescription history, they get pinged a lot of times. He's on this, she's on that. And they sort of ignore it because it's so cumbersome to go through it all and try to figure out what you should or shouldn't be taking. They just ignore it. They assume the doctor's right, and you get the medicine. That all has to change. It just has to become a more flawless procedure. So I think in that respect, I think that's where we have to work with regulators and the department to see what we can do to make the process more seamless.
One thing I will say, Representative Zaleski, is that Wisconsin has had a law like that on the books where they and something that I'll point out is that the requirement would be anytime that the patient gets a new prescription, and they stressed that yesterday, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what they said, and not if the patient is getting a simple refill. So if there's a new
correct
prescription, the patient will get the sort of full counseling. So they do this, and they have done this in Wisconsin. So that's been on the books, it would require sort of taking a trip up north to sort of see how it works. And it's not too bad. It's sort of a streamlined process. I don't know how much this actually really addresses the issue of drug interactions, but it does sort of it sort of makes it a sort of like a more well-rounded process, and it makes the pharmacist more engaged. Now, as far as but you mentioned the issue of alert fatigue. That's something that was brought up by the report, and it was discussed in yesterday's hearing. And one thing that does does work to combat that is and something that the Tribune report was good about mentioning was, I think, reducing the number of mild and moderate, so basically, unimportant alerts, and mm-hmm. focusing in on important ones. And so something that isn't quite apparent to lay people, and even necessarily legislators, and is only apparent to us as pharmacists, is the sheer number of alerts, and that's what makes it easy to blow through these screens and ignore the ones that are really truly important. And part of just to take you through the process, I think that there is an incentive on the part of employers to have a ton of alerts there, even the unimportant ones, to sort of protect, their butts as far as liability is concerned. But what that does then is, then it causes the pharmacist to just blow through them all because they're deluged with,
right,
with alerts. So that's where the problem of alert fatigue comes from.
And part of these is, correct me if I'm wrong, but from the talking to the pharmacists in doing this reporting, they get a lot of alerts mm-hmm. from insurance companies. They get them from the different computer software makers mm-hmm. who may have different, there's different degrees of computer software that you can get the packages for and put them into the different pharmacies. And that's part of the difference that you see here. There's not exactly a uniform system throughout all the pharmacies to say this pair is bad and has this exact alert.
Correct. Yeah. So, and what you can do is, the people up on high or, who are employed to look at these kinds of things can silence alerts that are, graded, mild or moderate alerts that are, viewed as less clinically important. And that's something that I would advocate. And, people who are involved in, clinical informatics is what the area of specialty is called, and I've done some work in that area, so that only the more important, clinically speaking alerts are left, and those are the ones so that, when they pop up on the screen, the pharmacist knows to, clue on in and actually take a look and not ignore those alerts, so when you get that pop up, you actually pay attention to them.
So we've got so much information to get through, and I want to make sure that we let Representative Zaleski go because he stayed up late for us tonight, and I appreciate it. You have more work to do, sir. As I asked Senator Katowski when he was still in office, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Go fix the state, will you?
will get to sleep right now and get up early tomorrow morning and get going on that.
I appreciate it. And sometime we'll have you on earlier in the show when it fits your schedule as well. Appreciate your time. And have a great night. We'll see you again in Springfield.
All right, bye. Good night. Good night, Dan.
Yeah, good night.
Good night. Thank you so much. Hey, Ray, do you want to hang on and continue the conversation? I don't want to
Absolutely.
Keep you up.
Excellent. Absolutely. Having fun.
All right, X, appreciate it. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Senator Dan Katowski, Dr. Charles J. Turk, our pharmacist expert. And on the line with us is Ray Long, reporter for the Chicago Tribune, who, along with his colleagues, had an investigation into the pharmacies across... Was this across the state of Illinois, or was there a certain area in particular you guys focused on, Ray?
It was mostly Chicago area, but we tried to get 30... Well, we did get 30 samples from each of the seven chains that we did. And as a result, some of the chains like Costco, we had to go outside of the state or downstate. Same with Kmart and some others. So we branched off into Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin also. But it was very much centered in Chicago, and the vast, vast majority were in the Chicago itself and Cook County.
So, Ray, this is Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Thanks so much for your work on this. This is very important, and it's going to continue to have a strong impact on people's lives, and sounds like it's going to save some lives. And if it hasn't already done that, so what kind of conversations have you had to really find out the impact that the pharmacy benefit managers have on this process? You know, I was always struck when I was a legislator that this was kind of one of the kind of unsung components of this issue here, that they had this massive amount of power and influence. You know, they were there's multi-billion dollar PBMs out there, pharmacy benefit management companies, and they really are directing a lot of what's happening and decisions that are being made. And it's kind of the struggles when you deal with the larger pharmaceutical chains, right?
So, right. I think that you're onto something there, Dan, of course. The issue was brought up many times that pharmacy benefit managers are squeezing chains so that as a result, they're squeezing the independents too. And so what we see are examples where the pharmacy may have to pay out money from its own pocket and yet give a drug to a customer and sell it to that customer for a loss, really, a loss to the pharmacy, because the pharmacy benefit managers have put a level of how much they can charge, but then it actually costs more. It's a really complicated formula, and it's driving a lot of these, especially smaller pharmacies, kind of crazy.
Well, I also find it interesting that so sometimes the pharmacy benefit manager could say, well, we want you to use this manufacturer that you know provides for this this medication, and this manufacturer may provide the same type of medication but have some different component properties into it, and that kind of that cocktail of medication can have a really adverse effect. So you talk about blending other medications that are maybe more obvious than ones you're talking about in your report, that other ones are, you know, people taking all sorts of medication. It could be anything for like a mental illness, or it could be, schizophrenia. It could be something related to something in the mind. It could be about, something for dementia. It could be something related to epilepsy. Anything like mind-related. And that just the slightest change, right, could really cause people to go have problems that are intense.
Yeah, I've heard complaints about that. That wasn't what we focus on. So
I know.
Down all the details. But I have heard issues like that raised along the way.
And here's the thing about a lot of the pharmacies too, the bigger ones that came up in the conversation. Here, first of all, Ray, how, I don't even know how to put this into words, but how cool is it to be sitting in a committee hearing that has been basically generated by a piece that you wrote?
Well, you know, we're just writing the stories. They're the ones who are doing the work there to see if they can change the laws. But it was, I mean, it's nice to hear lawmakers salute your work along the way. But
you got really, there were a couple digs at you too along the way, weren't there?
Oh yeah, that's all right. I can handle that too.
That's for other reasons, though.
No, it was about the piece.
No, that's right. I'm just kidding.
I've been around a while. He's been around. So, you know, I can take a few of those.
Well, you know, I will say in some cases, though, you know, in at least one, I would say that, the dig was not quite, it wasn't quite accurate. There was a case where I think they said that, basically it seemed to me that one of the members of the panel opposing Representative Flowers suggested solutions. They came on and they said, "Oh, the Tribune article was suggesting this solution," and what the Tribune article basically was doing was quoting one of the retailers and what they were doing to address the Tribune article and its findings, and so basically, I think my impression was that this person had simply skimmed the Tribune article and not read it in full, so they were knocking the Tribune article with. Without having read it, was my impression.
Are you saying a legislator skimmed the article?
No, this was somebody testifying. It was not.
This was somebody testifying. Yes. I'm sure that never happens either.
We always read from beginning to end. Anything that Ray wrote.
There you go, Ray. Go ahead, Ray. You go.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say that one point was that CVS and Walgreens and Walmart all did say, hey, we're going to change policies and we're going to do a variety of training. And as a result, we're talking about 22,000 stores overall that could be impacted. And that there are many, many different outlets all over America that will be impacted by this because this is nationwide.
Right. Well, and something else that came out of the conversation, were you surprised by some of the other elements that came up that actually weren't necessarily related directly to your piece? But there was a representative who very passionately talked about there being pharmacy deserts in her community and other places that I thought was also intriguing.
Right. I think that, once some topic gets going, if they have something that they can relate to, they are quick to jump on because, as Dan knows, you need to build votes, and a lot of times you'll seek help from other lawmakers, and maybe a lawmaker has an idea of the kind of help they need in their community, and they may be willing to help you on your bill if you're willing to help them out on their issue.
Is that really how that works, Senator?
On occasion. I was thinking as Ray was talking, how interesting that how much impact the regulations that the administration, the Ron administration, if they put forth, absent legislation that's passed. You know, oftentimes, as you know, what happens is law is passed and then the regulations are really firmly put in place, the specific measures that are in there. So I wonder how serious it'll be taken if it's not passed with a companion policy to really buttress they're going to do.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, what Rauner is doing is basically putting forth proposed regulations on this offer to council to actually require council. So that has to go through where we're getting into the weeds here, but there's this joint committee of House and Senate members that actually decide whether the regulations fit within the law or not. It's basically formulating the fine print. And what Rauner is proposing are changes in those regulations. That is on one track here, and that hasn't been finalized. And at the same time, Mary Flowers and others or Mike Zalewski and others are looking at ways that they can improve the consumer safety through the law. So, and then that law could pass, and as Dan was alluding to, then you could go in and you write the fine print for that law too. So it has many different tracks that this could still go down here, and it's going to be a fight here, because the pharmacy industry is geared up and ready to not add more restrictions on what they do.
I want to continue the conversation, Ray. One more segment. Do you mind? I know it's getting late.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know you're still, you know, basking in the celebration of your birthday. By the way, happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
It was his birthday.
Happy birthday today?
On Wednesday. And I saw him on Wednesday and didn't even say happy birthday to him, because it was all very...
happy birthday.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, happy birthday, Ray.
Thanks.
You're 45, huh?
That's right. It's the drugs that keep me young.
As long as you get the right ones. More after this on 720 WGN. Hey, coming up on March 5th, it is the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb, presented by United Healthcare. It's going to be at the Presidential Towers in West Loop. Join me and WGN Radio in the fight to end lung disease at Chicago's biggest stair climb. You can climb 1, 2, 3, or all 4 towers. That's 180 floors, 2,340 steps you'll take in the mission to help save lives by improving lung health. Register now to help us, or with a pledge of support for the WGN Radio team. 89 cents of every dollar raised goes directly to education, research, and advocacy. Register or pledge online at fightfairclimb.org or call 312-781-1100. You can also go to wgnradio.com/events page and see all of our training photos and a link to register. See you on March 5th. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with Senator Dan Katowski, now the CEO of ChildServe, helping children lead happier and healthier lives. We also have Dr. Charles J. Turk, our pharmacist expert. On the line with us is Ray Long, reporter for the Chicago Tribune, whose investigative piece on pharmacies, along with his colleagues, uncovered some weaknesses. Would that be the best way to describe it, Ray, along the way?
I think that's fair. Some weaknesses in the safety net. Well, the last line of defense really is the pharmacy.
Well, one of the things that came up during the hearing was that pharmacists are the most, I believe the word was most successful healthcare providers. Was that the way it was stated?
Accessible.
Accessible. There were a couple, I have it in my laptop, but there were a couple of adjectives used, and they're accessible. And what's strange about that is that they're also highly trained. Charles, how much training goes into being a pharmacist?
Well, at least 6 years. So, at least 6 years post high school. So you'll have 2 years of pre-pharmacy or, undergrad coursework. Or the equivalent of, like something like AP courses. So, 2 years of pre-pharmacy coursework, and then 4 years of professional school in the form of pharmacy school.
And so then a pharmacist is behind the counter, giving out the medication, the prescriptions are filled. What other medical professional is accessible to people to come up to them and say, hey, where's the shampoo? I mean, really, if you think about how accessible pharmacists are behind the counter.
Right.
I just realized that when we were talking.
Are you looking at me and saying, where's the shampoo?
You know, I was not looking at you and asking where the shampoo
was. I was just happy that she wasn't looking at me for once.
But does that happen having worked at big box pharmacies?
Yeah.
Where you're at the makeup counter at Macy's.
You have to know where everything is.
You totally agree. It's like you do.
Can you imagine because they're highly trained, your life is in their hands, as Ray's piece, uncovered, right? And yet they have to constantly be accessible. Can you imagine? And there's not like a surgeon who's at work and someone comes up and taps him on the shoulder while you're on the table and says, hey, excuse me, do you know where I can get some coffee?
Well, and that was also part of the concern in having there be, back when pharmacies were getting fitted for the drive-through, that was the concern. And it has come to pass, that there is the idea of it, becoming somewhat like, fast food. In nature, everything is fast, and not only that, but the importance of it, more importantly, is minimized.
Yes.
Yeah, it's funny though. It's very important that as a patient, as someone who gets medication out there that they have a relationship of trust with their pharmacist. And that when they go to their pharmacist, there's a relationship. And one of the things that happens with sort of these bigger stores is you may not get the same person that you had the last time. You might get a different person. It's just they're more factory like, and so it's interesting. I found like Mariano's has a pharmacy there, and I know the people. There.
Right.
They just only have a couple. Right. And it's but it's also because they're not open 24 hours. But it's you get the kind of experience that you had when I remember we had the Sun Drug Store in Rogers Park. It was on the corner of California and Pratt, and Mel was the name of Mel and Shelley. Those are the guys. They were the pharmacists.
I love that.
You remember their names, right?
Sure.
And there's a woman at Mariano's. Her name's Lauren, right? I couldn't tell you the name of one of my pharmacists at Walgreens.
I mean, neither.
Well, you know, I think that's interesting too, Dan, because you know Mariano's actually had the second lowest score, and a low score was good in our failure rate here. So Walgreens had the best score, which was a 30% failure rate. Mariano's had a 37% failure rate. And then just to run the board so the listeners know, Jewel Osco and Walmart were at 43%. Again, this is a failure rate. Costco and Kmart were at 60%.
Gosh.
CVS was at 63% failure rate in the tests that we did. And again, at each of those chains, we went to 30 different stores in their chains to limit the idea that we would have chance involved in these types of rating systems here. So, you know, you were mentioning you know your person at Mariano's. Well, they also scored pretty well in our test.
And that's interesting because I will tell you this. The last time, and I was struggling with this, last time I was at Walgreens, when they were dispensing medication to me, they said they knew that I had made a specific request for the type of manufacturer for the medication, and they were aware of it. And I think it's because of articles like you, articles have been written by people like you, Ray, that there's a greater level of awareness of what they should be saying to people. Because to me, it was unusual. Typically, you have to be such a vigilant advocate for yourself,
right?
Yeah.
As a patient to get there. You're like, you know what? Listen, I told you this last time, right? And it's hard to kind of keep your head because if you told someone that like seven times and then someone said, I was pleasantly surprised. So I think you are seeing kind of a greater level of awareness that's out there. And it's not like people don't care. It's just that when you're the larger the place, you know, and the more you're selling, to Patty's point, if people's coming up with you and say, hey, do you know where the Charmin is, right?
Yeah.
And the more that's kind of like focusing on or distracting you or whatever, the bigger the place, the harder it is to kind of keep that personal touch. And I think people really thrive on that because so much about medicine and healthcare is like, yeah, I was comfortable with my doctor. I'm comfortable with my pharmacist. I know that they're going to be there for me.
Yeah, one thing.
And yet, one of the interesting things about our findings also was that we went out to independent stores. We tested 32 independent stores. These are the folks that are not the big chains. These are the ma and pop type shops and et cetera that you have all over Chicago and the Chicago area. And they had a 72% failure rate.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, something that I will say is that, all of these different places with independence, you'll have a variety. You know, all these different places, have different computer systems. And we were sort of, we sort of brushed on that before, Ray, so all these different places have different, interaction checking systems. So there is that.
Yeah, no, there's the idea of that's a problem, too, is the electronic syncing of, the doctor's information, the specialist, the pharmacist. There's a lot going on. Before we let you go, Ray, the one thing I've been wondering about, too, is what inspired this piece that you guys wrote in the Chicago Tribune?
Well, I came on. I'm the junior guy on the piece, but I spent 15 months on it. And two of my partners, Sam Rowe and Carissa King, were trying to figure out a way to rate the pharmacies. And the decision had been made through many discussions and much research that, you know, we've got to go out and do it ourselves to really know what's going on. And so I was brought in to help execute it. And they had done some stories about drug interactions themselves. Sam had done a remarkable piece about going out to New York and to work with all types of scientists and take big data from a hospital and mix it up and actually find some interactions that had not been detected before. And so, and Carissa had done a remarkable piece, she was the lead on a remarkable piece about, you know, how it can really impact a person and how, mm-hmm. you know, there's an incredible tale that she did about how the person almost went blind and had gone through all kinds of things, skin was peeling, et cetera, because of drug interactions that should have been caught.
Well, Ray, I want to thank you so much for all the hard work, and I would love to have you on again as this progresses, both in the legislature and as pharmacies respond to the investigative report. Everyone can go to ChicagoTribune.com. Look up Ray Long. Is there a link directly, or is if they search for you, I'm guessing the piece comes up?
Yeah, you know, those are primarily my last few pieces have been about this issue. So if you went to Chicago, if you just Googled Chicago Tribune and Ray Long and then hit the first thing that pops up on Google, and you'll see my pieces, and you'll be able to find them there.
Well, thank you for all the hard work you and your colleagues did on this, and I think it's going to make a really significant impact. I hope that there's it's going to take a while for a solution, but you guys really set this ball in motion, and it's important. And this is what journalism is about. You know, this is one of the things I wanted to highlight, you know, in this sort of tone that we've had nationally. This is what we do. This is what media does, is make sure that people are informed, that the stories are, that people know what the stories are and how to get involved. Thank you so much, Ray. We appreciate all your hard work.
Thank you, Patty. Great to be here.
Absolutely. We'll have you back again soon. Happy birthday again.
All right.
Because I forgot. I keep saying it.
That's
have a great
okay.
night.
I'll take it all I can.
Thanks. Get some rest.